So my name is Sivan. I work here in Bina in the secular yeshiva. I'm the instructor and volunteer coordinator for a group called Tikkun Olam. It's a group of young Jewish people from around the world, mostly the US, who come here to a year of volunteering and study. They live in apartments in Kiryat Shalom, which is a neighborhood a little bit south than here. They study here in the secular yeshiva, and they do volunteer works around South Tel Aviv and Jaffa. Bina is an organization affiliated to the kibbutzim movement. Bina was established 12 years ago. That for Israel is the date that pops out is the Rabin assassination that happened 12 years ago. A lot of people from the kibbutzim movement, from the who were in the field of education, felt there was a very deep crisis, a very deep rift, right, in the Israeli society, where young people were not in touch with their roots at all. They were forsaking everything that has even the little bit to do with the religious, with tradition, with the origins, really, of our people. And they were feeling that this is not relevant to them, to their life. This is something relevant only to people who are religious or even ultra-religious. And the feeling was that if this process would continue, we would actually maybe stay in Israel, stay Israelis, but we're not sure we can define ourselves as Jewish anymore. And I know this sounds very harsh, but this was a fear, and I think this is still a fear that exists in some of the people here. And so they established Bina, which was a study center for Jewish culture and Israeli identity. Mainly at the beginning, Bina was an organization working with people who were already retired, who wanted to do something interesting with their time, come and hear teachers speak. We have teachers who are very famous in Israel, Dov Elboim and Muki Tzur. Other people who come and teach in Bina were a part of the think teams to create this organization. And about, I think, 6 years ago, maybe even seven, they realized, well, Talmud is very nice, but Gadol Talmud, Hamevi Lidei Maaseh, which means it's not enough just to study, it has to lead into action, which made them establish what is called Bina Bashchuna, Bina in the neighborhood. They wanted to come to one of the neighborhoods in South Tel Aviv and see how they can help, how they can profile the needs of the neighborhood, of the people living here, and see what kind of assistance they can give. And what was really important for them is to become a part of the neighborhood. We didn't want to be to have a patronizing experience to be coming here and telling people what's right and what's wrong to do. We wanted to do it together with the people in the neighborhood. And this was how Bina in the neighborhood was established. They had small groups at the beginning of young Israelis who would come here. They would study most of the week, and about a day or two of the week they would go out and they would work in the neighborhood, in schools, in after-schools program, with adults in the neighborhood, creating what is called Kehila Chogeget, which means working with adults from the neighborhood, creating events for holidays together. About 2 years ago, the Tel Aviv municipality gave us this building who used to be a clinic. And we started what is called the secular yeshiva, which basically is giving a home to all these groups that come to study in Bina, for all of them to be able to study in the same building. We feel it's very important. Right now we're in the middle of class, but you will see during recess people come out of the classroom. They have a chance to mingle, to get to know each other. We have here from 18, which just finished school. They postponed their military service in a year to come here and study and volunteer in South Tel Aviv. Afterwards, if they choose to, they join the army together. So sometimes you would see people wearing the army uniform coming here to study or coming here to visit because this place is so profound in their identity. And until, well, I'm 27 and I'm studying here, and you will see we have teachers who are, of course, much older and experienced than me. So basically, this is the secular yeshiva, a place to give these groups a home. Also, whoever approaches us and asks us, for example, there is a place called Mesila, have you heard about it? They approached us, they needed a place to do some tutoring for children of illegal immigrants, so of course we say this is an organization influenced by Jewish roots, we are not going to send anyone who asks us for help away. So you would also sometimes see other populations or other groups that come here and use the facilities. And another thing that the secular yeshiva enable us to do is to really relate to Israeli culture. For example, a couple of weeks ago we had here something called Bira Amikta, which plays on beer and Bira Amikta, which is an expression, it means a deep hole, which basically means studying over beer. It was about Bob Dylan. We had a lecturer and someone performing his songs. The place was dressed up as a pub and it was packed. The performance was over here where we are sitting, and people were sitting all the way to the back on the floor. It comes to show that going out does not have to be a hollow, shallow experience. It can be something more deep and more meaningful. And it was actually the beginning for a series of lectures about American Jews. Woody Allen, Allen Ginsberg, Leonard Cohen, and yeah, we really were very excited about it also. I was translating for my group, the Tikkun Olam group, because they study Hebrew as well, but it's not always enough to hear a full lecture in Hebrew. But basically most of the activities are in Hebrew. I would say the prominent part is in Hebrew, although we hope that having my group here, maybe they will create some activities of their own in English for English-speaking crowd to come here. So we have lectures here as well, and we have study sessions that are open to the public. We don't always hold them here because the place, as you can see, is pretty confined. We use sometimes the Matnas, the community center in Shapira, sometimes a synagogue nearby. For my opinion, a really good participant rate from not just people who are members in Bina, but also people who live in the neighborhood, maybe didn't have the opportunity to participate in such activities until now.
How do the people who come from abroad, I take it, are mostly Americans?
Yeah.
What organization brings them to you?
Well, we work through MASA, through the Jewish Agency, and we also publish independently. So we have a website, we send out emails to Hillels, to colleges, we try to work for our very small alumni bases, because this is only the third year that this program, the Tikkun Olam program, has been working. But basically a lot of our recruiting goes through MASA. Well, basically we have offices in Ramat Efal because we are affiliated with the kibbutzim movement. In Ramat Efal there is something called Bet Midrash, which is basically for people who are, I would say, I think most of them are either retired or have jobs that enable them to dedicate a day a week to come and study. We don't have as much young participants there as we do here. It's mostly for, I would say, people from their 40s, 50s and up. And I think that's the main difference. And also the programs there are not as comprehensive, you say? They don't do 5 days a week. They would come either for one class or one day or two classes a week. They can choose much more freely because obviously they have their own lives, families, and the people who come here to the groups here are mostly dedicate their life to what they do here. They often have other jobs because obviously they need, you know, to provide for themselves, but this is the main focal point of their life while they're here. Actually, how I came to Bina, I was a teacher in the seminar department when I began working here 2 years ago. Right now, what we try to do is we try to take the seminars out of a file. If we talk about social economical gaps in Israeli society, so we would like to take the kids out and see, like, see South Tel Aviv versus, not even the North, versus Dizengoff Center. We try to have as many of the seminars as we can to come here to see the secular yeshiva. We try to go out to their schools and look at their environment. But yeah, the seminary department is located in Efal. And actually the teachers of the seminars are right here today. They have a study day, which is something I really appreciate about Binaz, that to be a teacher, you also always have to be a student. You're always said to be in a constant state of learning, of being open-minded, which what drew me to Bina when I was looking for a job in this area. And so I know that if I come to Bina every other week, I'll have a full day of study, I'll have the best teachers, I would be able to grow as an instructor, and rather than just come in, do my hours and go home.
What is a secular yeshiva?
Bet Yotzer Nishmat Ha'uma, the house that creates the nation's soul. And it also just means simply wisdom, Bina. Why is it called the secular yeshiva? Well, I think, first of all, even today, or when the secular yeshiva was established 2 years ago, 10 years after the murder, there is still a very strong sense of the term, everything religious is off-putting for young Israelis. And I think it was important to emphasize, even the word yeshiva is regarded with very strong negative feelings. And I think it was important to emphasize that we do something different here. I think it was also important for people working in Bina to have something that defines them as not being less important or less understanding in the subject because they're not religious. You can be secular and you can still study Talmud and you can still study the Mikra and you can still study Jewish philosophy and understand it just as well and just as deeply as someone who does sit in a regular yeshiva and, well, radio. You won't see me doing the quote movement, but I think it was important for us to separate ourselves from other yeshivas. But just the same, to say this is a yeshiva, this is a place of study, this is not a youth movement, this is not another recreational center in the neighborhood, this is a yeshiva, this is a place of study. Even though our Talmudic is one that leads into action, we are, this place is, first of all, a study session. It was important for us to receive donations for the library that you see around you. It was important for us that the study would not be cancelled out by moving into the neighborhood and doing our activities and our work as important as it is. And actually, this is a question that we have an inner debate about: how much should we emphasize each side. So I think it was important to define this both as secular and both as a yeshiva, as a school.
Well, in addition to the Talmud, what other texts do you use?
Well, each teacher, of course, chooses the text that he's relating to. I can tell you that right now with my group, we studied the Rambam because it was very relevant to their life. They started doing group project, and it was important for us to teach from Hilchot Matnot Aniyim. No way I'm going to know how to say this in English. I'm sorry.
The laws of dealing with poverty.
Well, makes sense. because it was very relevant to their life and entering into the neighborhood. I know that Chen, one of the teachers here, who is now teaching the group of instructors, the teachers for the seminars, is doing a text about feminism. I think she's teaching Elizabeth Cuddy right now, but I'm not really sure. Buddha, who is teaching over there, is mostly doing stories from the Talmud. Other teachers would choose their own text, but mostly from Jewish origins. again, depends on the group, depends on what the group needs right then and now, depends if these are people who are teaching the groups or if they are also their instructors and are accompanying them in their volunteer projects. Basically, I'm not very familiar with each group study sections. I know that my group has, for example, a lesson about the roots of Zionism in Israel. So their texts are related. They study Katzenelson. They study a little bit before going to the Negev, a little bit from Ben-Gurion, for them to be relevant to their lives. Most teachers use the chevruta as this is part of, I think, the Bina way of teaching. Is you sit in a circle and you have the communal experience of learning, and you go to chevrutas and you share your thoughts and ideas with your friends and then come back in again and discuss them. And this is also the way I like to teach. I think most teachers use the same method here. To read a poem together, if that's okay, because I think... Well, first of all, this is one of my favorite poets, Yehuda Amichai. It's a translation made by Beta Tfutzot.
The Jews are like photos in a display window, all of them together, short and tall, alive and dead, brides and grooms, bar mitzvah boys and babies. Some are restored from old yellowed photographs. Sometimes people come and break the windows and burn the pictures. And then they start photographing and developing all over again and displaying them again, sad and smiling. Rembrandt painted them wearing Turkish turbans with beautiful burnished gold. Chagall painted them hovering in the air. And I paint them like my father and my mother. The Jews are an eternal forest preserve where the trees stand dense, and even the dead cannot lie down. They stand upright, leaning on the living, and you cannot tell them apart. Just that fire burns the dead faster. And what about God? God lingered like the scent of a beautiful woman who once faced them in passing and they didn't see her face. Only her fragrance remained, kinds of perfumes. Blessed be the creator of kinds of perfumes. A Jewish man remembers the sukkah in his grandfather's home, and the sukkah remembers for him the wandering in the desert that remembers the grace of youth and the tablets of the Ten Commandments and the gold of the golden calf and the thirst and the hunger that remembered Egypt. And what about God? According to the settlement of divorce from the Garden of Eden and from the temple, God sees his children only once, a year on Yom Kippur. The Jews are not a historical people and not even an archaeological people. The Jews are a geological people with rifts and collapses and strata and fiery lava. Their history must be measured on a different scale. The Jews are buffed by suffering and polished by torments like pebbles on the seashore. The Jews are distinguished only in their death as pebbles among other stones. When the mighty hand flings them, they skip two times or three on the surface of the water before they drown. Some time ago, I met a beautiful woman whose grandfather performed my circumcision long before she was born. I told her, "You don't know me, and I don't know you, but we are the Jewish people. Your dead grandfather and I, the circumcised, and you, the beautiful granddaughter with golden hair, we are the Jewish people." And what about God? Once we sang, "There is no God like ours," and now we sing, "There is no God of ours," but we sing. We still sing. I think that's what we were discussing earlier today. We were talking about Jewish identity and what is Jewish identity, and how one, and the struggle and the tension that we have now in present-day Israel, and the struggle between secular and religious, the struggle between identifying what is Jewish, what is Israeli, what is secular.
Well, actually, I hope that they'll have a recess soon. I think they have one at 5, so you would see people coming out of the classes, some of them, very few, but some of them do wear kippahs on their heads. There were some responses when the secular yeshiva first opened. There still are of people passing on the street and going inside and asking, what is a secular yeshiva? What is going on here? A lot of responses from people who left the religious world and come in and say, I have some background. I used to study. I don't want to go back. I don't want to lachzor b'tshuva. But I miss the studying. I miss having chevruta. I miss talking to people. Can I join you? Can I come in? And that's, I think, one of the most important reasons that we have the open sessions, the one that people can join on Sundays and Thursdays. I think it is for that, to create this bridge. A lot of people in Bina would define themselves as religious people, even though they don't wear a kippah or they practice their Shabbat differently than what would be considered religiously. Within the young groups, people are struggling to find their way, and I think we try to be as open-minded as we can, even though I think most of the new, again, they won't see this on the radio, most of the new generation in Bina, I feel, have already come from this place of resentment against everything that smells of religious. And I think this is our biggest challenge, to be able to open up to something that is that different from us. I think for most of us it would be easier to accept the foreign immigrant who comes in and say, can I have a place to do my homework, than it would be for someone wearing a yarmulke who comes in and say, can I study with you? I think this is the most scary part for us. I can say this is one of the things that drove me personally to join Bina, is that in my family, this is everything. Again, smells of religious is cast aside as something that being, I'm not sure if retarded is the right word, but something archaic and irrelevant and very negatively regarded, and something that is galut and doesn't belong to us. It's not us. And then you lose. So why do we do Leil HaSeder if it's not us? And I think a lot of us came here to find answers, but we're still a little bit scared of the other side. This is, I think, our greatest challenge today. Contrary to what it was maybe 6 years ago, that I think the biggest challenge was, how are we going to integrate into a neighborhood that's so different than the background that we came from? And I think today that one of our biggest challenges, and I think, well, we say in Hebrew, "En anachtu me'id al isato." Maybe I'm not supposed to say this about ourselves, but I think we're doing a good job handling these fears and these dilemmas.
How has Bina changed you?
I don't know if I can say exactly how it changed me. I think it changed the way I view things and the way I live my life, in the sense that I now have more answers as to why I do things, and I have a more kavana when I do them. And I also think it enabled me to be a part of a community, which is a big change for me in my life, because it enabled me to do services for the holiday in a way that I don't feel conflicts with my inner world. I think it enabled me to do even the holidays with my family in a way that serves the purpose of studying and the purpose of understanding why we do the holiday. And if something that I don't relate to, I can choose to leave that outside and not feel any less Jewish or any less contact with the holiday, for me, at least.
Kim, and I'm almost working at Bina 3 years, and they said to me to do a tour in English here in the South Tel Aviv. I think the story of South Tel Aviv that we are, but that we can begin with, is with a point that immigrants, workers in Israel, that's a very big issue today. The point when they began to be not legal. And before of that, in every country in the world, we know about immigrant workers that come from other countries because of difficult and to earn money in their own country, and they come to other countries. But and almost in, also in Israel, in the beginning, it were Palestinian workers. But when the Intifada began in the late 80s, then they stopped coming from the Palestinian area. And so the government of Israel began to bring immigrant workers from countries like the Philippines, China, Thailand, Africa, Romania, Russia, and a lot of countries. But we must understand that in the beginning it was legal. It's something that the government, with kablanim, that is contractors from outside the country that bring the workers. In the beginning, they work in the industry of building houses and chaklaut, that is
agriculture.
But in the beginning of the 90s, we could see a show that's called in Hebrew, it's called Uvda. It's Ilana Dayan, she's a... Facts, it's called, on the channel too. It's a big show about things that happen that we don't see every day. And they did a show about the situation of the immigrant workers. And it was a very bad scene of what's happening there. And when we and in that time, the immigrant workers decided to get away from their employers. They decided because of the condition they were, because they don't get enough money, because the employer was very not nice about the workers, they began to run away. And in that point, that was in the early 90s, that point, that is the big issue that today is very, very talked about in Israel, about the immigrant workers, the problem of the immigrant workers. Because in that point, there was no ID, and they are not there's people that run away, they have no social rights or something like that, and if they are sick and if there are things. And in that point, they also get in a lot of them to Tel Aviv. Why Tel Aviv? Because Tel Aviv is very, in South Tel Aviv, there are a lot of people from a lot of places. The rent is very low and you don't have to need the contrast or something. You find somebody who pays a little money. And also there's a lot of works that Israeli people don't want to do and that we don't want to talk about, like hookers and there's drugs and things that you can get money from and it's not legal and nobody needs to know it. And also clean houses. Somebody wants you to clean my house. I give you 100 shekels. I did it for half a year. I cleaned houses in North Tel Aviv. You get 100, 200 shekels and there's no nothing else. And that's the point that we will begin the tour here, that we are very near a street that's called Neve Sha'anan, that if you go there in the Saturday day, when everybody is in rest, so that I go and do here like a travel of Saturday, then you see that it's like a happening of all countries in the world, all different languages, and you feel like a stranger. Here in the center of the country of Israel, in Tel Aviv, you feel like a stranger. There's Chinese and there's Romanian, and everybody talking about, and the food and the shops, and we will see it now. In the tour, we'll go and stop in a few points because it's not look so good. I don't like to do it because it's like we're going and look at their life and things like that. But we will see around, look around, what's the name of the shops, what languages do you see around you. And we'll stop in a few points and I will give you a little bit of my experience and what I think that I know. I worked 2 years in a very special school that's called Bialik here in South Tel Aviv. In Bialik, the children speak like 30 languages from all over the world. Also Jews, also Muslims, and also Christians. The Muslims that are people that cooperate with Tzahal, with the army from the Palestinian area, and when there is a threat on their life, then Israel government bring them to Israel. But they put a lot of them here in South Tel Aviv. And so it's very, very interesting to see. When it is Christmas, it's also Eid al-Fitr and also Hanukkah, and we do a little great festival of it. And I worked with the children and the parents. And I can give you a little bit point of view. I was born in Israel, but I lived in the Netherlands for 6 years.
Where were you born in Israel?
In Kfar Saba. And I lived after that in Mitzpeh Harashim. It's a little mitzpeh in the Galil. Yeah, and the most rain in all Israel is in Mitzpeh Harashim, and that's the only reason that we are in the news and the weather. And that's it, and I live now for... And now I live 3 years in Shapira. I work here in Bina. I guide like a group that go to Garim Nachal that we have here in Bina. And I do tours here, and I do a lot of things here in Bina. Central bus station in Israel, in Tel Aviv, it's the biggest bus station in all the Middle East. There's two questions about the station, or about the central station. Most of the big cities in the world put the central station or in the middle of the city, in the center, and then it will be a big like a mall or something like that, or outside the center of the city, outside the city, on the area around it. Here in Tel Aviv, it's not that and not that. It's not in the center of Tel Aviv, not where Disney of Center is and the big malls, Azrieli. And it's also not outside the city, in Ramat Gan, Chulon, Bat Yam, in the industry area. So it's in the south Tel Aviv, and what it did, it's meant to be a big mall, a center of Tel Aviv. There is there a sign, Canyon Tel Aviv, the Mall of Tel Aviv. Now three of the floors are empty, shops are closing down every time. And if you can see here, people live here outside, where all the buses of all over the country go around, and it's very, the rent here is very down, and it's not give the neighborhood something up. Most of the youngsters in Israel, when they ask about, and when you ask them, have you been in South Tel Aviv, do you know there? They only be inside the central station to go somewhere else, but nobody goes outside. And when I took youngsters to do a tour here, they were very shocked. Wow, that's what's here. When we see Tel Aviv in the news or in the, we see the theater and the movie stars and all the celebrities, but we don't see this side of Tel Aviv, that it's very, there's a very big gap. And also when we talk about a gap in socioeconomic, the socioeconomic situation, we talk about Shderot or Netivot or Fakim, something that's in the desert far away. But here in the center of the country, it's the same gaps and the same in the education and with work and everything that we know. So that's the central station. And now we go in Neve Sha'anan, that's very a street that we will see. Look around you. I think that the big issue is we have here now over 200,000 immigrant workers. What are we doing with that part of the society that are here? The children are born here in Israel. They talk Hebrew better than me and want to go to the army and to be service this land. But 1 minute, I want to stop here. In the middle of the land of the Jews is a new pork shop. And it's here that you can, and you don't see it in other sides of the country and things. It's something that's not, it's weird in Israel. But here it's pork. Pork, yeah, and now, but you can see, and also the languages here of the shops, you can see Thailand store, and from the Asian, this that you can see here was Maestro, it's called, it's a bar of all the Romanian workers, immigrants workers, they were come here all gathering around, and that was the society stop spot of them, to sit down and talk, and after work, on Saturday, that's the day free for everyone, in Ezra. So they come here around and sit down. In the day, if we would come in the day, there was nobody here. Everybody doesn't work. But after work, they come here and this is their life. But it's really a country inside a country. They have here their own synagogue. Is it a Knessia? Sure. No, church. They have a church and they have here their meetings. And there is in the central station on the downstairs floor, they have shows like music show, Thailand show, and Filipinian, and yeah, yeah, and it's in Christmas. You see the whole floors down in the center with the Christmas trees and everything. And you say, why are they so inside of them? And why is the country pushing them away in this side? And don't try to make like conversation with them, their languages, their culture, and things like that, because they really outside the society. It's not something that you don't have here. Jews that are walking around. When I look around, it looks different when I talk here Hebrew or something, and there's no connection and talking about the differences, and that's a very big problem. So when we talk about the immigrant workers that came here to Tel Aviv to work, the first thing was that they were not legal, and then you can't also know how much they are or where they live, and also socially, medicine and schools and things like that. The second thing that happened, that they have children, like everyone when they come to some age, they want to have children, and then began the problem or the issue where they go to school. There is a universal law that say a rule that say children, no matter what they from where they from, they have till get 18 to get education and medicine and all the social things. So then began a very big progress in Bialik School. The manager of Bialik School was a very, very important woman, Amira Yalom. It's amazing to hear her talk. about those issues. And she did like a process in the Knesset and to do rules that protect those children. Because in the beginning it was absurd, the situation. A children came out of school after he finished, and then police come after him to get to the house of the parents because the parents are illegal. Or at night they come to the parents' house, but the children are there. Or one day you can sit down to your friend from school, and the other day he's not there. Where is he? He get away from the country. So a lot of problems. They try to think about it with children that the parents are illegal, but they are legal. And
because it was illegal to bring a spouse. To bring a husband or a wife was illegal, so they had to do it illegally.
When they initially came, were they provided with housing in a more integrated way, and then with the way that they were being paid, were just forced to the south of Tel Aviv, or were they initially just brought to Tel Aviv and this was it?
No, they don't brought to Tel Aviv. I said they were brought to the industry of building industry and agriculture.
Most of the immigrants too, I mean, there's not a real desire to necessarily integrate within the dominant culture. I mean, they're here for the most part initially to earn a living, a better opportunity, but not necessarily to integrate into the society.
But the children that are born, that's the point.
Because they're growing up as basically Israelis. Yeah. Whether
the children that are born here, yes. All their friends are Jews. Yes. They're in the culture of that, and I meet them when they are 18, and they say to me, I want to go to the army, yes. And I want to be Israeli, and he speaks better Hebrew than me. He knows better than me than.
That's what's happening. That's it's the second generation trying. I guess we're trying to address that now to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the ideas that I get, yes. And but it's a very, very long process, bureaucratic process. And in the other side, we bring in every day more and more immigrants to here, and not so the government brings the immigrants working, not to think that they came here for their way. It's a very small part of them came from Egypt, from the borderline, and the woman for hookers and things like that. But most of the part, the government bring in a legal way. Children that are born here, that their friends are Jews, they know the holidays, they know to speak the language and the culture better than me when I talk to them. And when he is 18 and he talk with me and he say, I want to go to the army, I want to go to build your family with my friends, I don't know nothing about Thailand or the Philippines or other places, then yes. And that's one thing that we do here in Bina, is that the children with the parents, escolita we call it, that Spanish children can learn the language of the parents, because it's important to have a connection with the parents and the other generation that came before. But that is a question that we need to answer about. They are here, they feel Israeli, and how we give them the feeling that they are part of it or not part of it, and how we deal with that. So here in Tel Aviv, in South Tel Aviv, things that we don't want to see and don't want to know that they are here, but hookers, a lot of hookers and drugs are here in South Tel Aviv. And a week ago, in 2 weeks, we do a day Bina in Alma together. It's a day about trading sachar b'nashim and sachar b'bnei adam, and trading with women, trafficking with a human being. And we did here, I and a couple of guys from Bina, we did there a tour that we go make. And there's one street that's called Chov Fin Street. And there was a big article in the Aretz about all the junkies and that they are lived in. And we never been there. And we go there in two in the afternoon in the street, and it's amazing. It's nothing that you can imagine or something. On the streets, and every door it's like a hooker house, and the drugs are on the streets, and it's like very, very, and it's here in Tel Aviv, and it's something that's it's a big street, Har Zion, that all the buses of Tel Aviv go there, and after the corner, it's other country, other side of children that are living here, That is the places that I know. Afternoon, when I go out and drink a beer in Florentine with my friends, I can see somebody in 10 or 12 years old with the bicycle. What are you doing? Ah, we're going around with the friends. Because they have nothing to do, because the parents aren't work. And that is the places that they know. So they walk here around. And there was a big article when I worked, when I was 18 years or 19 in the service year. Service ages and ages ago. I worked in Bialik school with a couple of children, and one day I see in the television with the faces like this, a couple of children that I worked with, that they talk about how they go to the hooker houses and how they know the reality that they're living in. Station here in the, right. in the street.
Obviously.
And it's a very interesting story because there are a couple of people here in the neighborhood. Neve Sha'anan, it was one of the first neighborhoods outside the gates of Yafo. We always talk about the story of Neve Tzedek. There's Alterman and there's Brenner and all the big people, yeah, that were chalutzim and go out. But before of that, there was Shapira and there was Neve Sha'anan. And because the people from there, they were also the chalutzim and they came here to build a country. Because they not was Ashkenazim, white, from the Poland and Vienna academic, they don't recognize. And today, here we can see a sign like this is where the neighborhood, you can't find almost historical things. When we want to, this is was built, this neighborhood was built like a Chanukiah, the streets here. If you can see, Levinsky is one of those. It's like really built like a Chanukiah. But one thing, the bus station, the central bus station, do like a black hole on the Chanukiah, if you can see it from above. And the second thing, we can see here, like, where was the first building of who live here, who built this neighborhood.
In this community that's so, in a sense, foreign to most Israelis, I mean, how has that changed you in any way, or what have you come to understand a little better than you didn't really know before?
First of all, I think it's told me something about my identity, that where I lived, it was so... You are a Jew, you are Israeli, but it don't meant anything. Because they said, because your parents get here, but it have no real meaning for it. And when I meet, it's also because of Bina and the learning of things, of my identity and things that I want to learn. And also to meet real Israeli society, like the real things that you don't meet in the day. You want first to... That's your identity and things that you do, they are meant something, that they come from learning and then also acting to do something about it. And it makes me, first of all, involved, to be involved, yeah? Yes. To be involved in society, to want to change things, and also to build something that is meaningful for me. But not in in the desert or in Mitzpech HaRashim, like far away from real society. In society, here I want to build a better society. With those people that are so different from me, I want to talk about the differences and to build something together. Like in Shapira, my neighborhood neighbors are so different from me, and they come from. But when we talk about the things that are so education, we all want. We want good health. We want that the trees in the neighborhood will be good looking, and that we will feel safe and things like that. When you talk about that, you see that there is no so differences between people, and we want the same things. But we need to talk. To know you are different, I'm different, and from there to build something together, what we can to build together. Two things. Here, one, it was the old station. Old station was here before that. And that is what I talk about, Finn Street and all the that places. The second thing that we can see that building, that high building with discount on it, that can you see, and that is in Tel Aviv, so... you can see it in your eyes. I go with my bicycle and 5 minutes I'm dizzying off center and shops around me and everything is different. And you can see it, and it's close, it's so close. It's in the same city and everything is different. And you can see when it's South Tel Aviv and then Center Tel Aviv and then it's North Tel Aviv. And you can see it also in things like there was the city did something like Poetry on the Road, it's called. A lot of poets, Israeli poets, that were on big sites and all over the city. On the road, you can see like a poet from Bialik and Amichai and things like that. it stops in the Allenby, that's the way, and in South Tel Aviv there was nothing. One day we saw an article in the paper, in the newspaper, that some activist stole the poets from the north and put them here on the central station. But it's something that you really can see in the eyes, and it's very... People from the north, they don't know it, those places. They know the central bus station, the buses, but they don't come outside. Second thing, that's a spot here. It's called the Shawarma Ir. It was a shawarma place. That there was an explosion, a bomb explosion here. And the interesting thing here was that most of the victims of the explosion were immigrant workers. And there is a story about a woman that lives somewhere here in the street that 3 days were wounded in their house because they was afraid. She have no medicine insurance, she's afraid of the police. And it was, and that's very, and we saw it on TV, you saw it in the news. People run away and don't go to the ambulance to get the help. And that's something in our Israeli crazy reality that we need to meet with, and that was here. And we go now to Rehov Har Zion, Har Zion Street, that also end Neve Sha'anan in a neighborhood, and then begins Florentine neighborhood. That is also a southern place, another world, but also it's also a neighborhood that began as an not an immigrants but a chalutzim and old people, and then in the beginning of the 90s a lot of the youngsters began, it's very cheap there, it's close to the central of Tel Aviv, let's come here. And there came a lot of long-term, and then there was a TV show and a lot of rock bands and things, artists came to there. But what was very, that you can see today, that they very pushed out the old people, the people that are, that were more religious and lived their life here for 50 years, and they were not mitrashvim, like they were not consider about their situation. So when we, I can tell about us, we live here, a lot of groups of youngsters here in Shapira and also in southern neighbors, but we really try to do everything with the neighborhoods and not to do it alone. We are here, we have this and this ideas, and that's what we want to do. You want to join us, you don't want to, we don't care. No, we try to do it. We know that the people that live here, they are religious, they are different than us, but only with talking to them. And I told him before that when we talk about the issues that really matter to both of us, we can see that in the bottom of things, we want the same things. We want a good education for our children. We want the streets to be clean here in South Tel Aviv. We want parks, and we want... And then when we talk about this one, we have some agreement. And also know that we are different from each other. So I think that's something very important. There is some movement in Israel of youngsters that want to do different things, to want to bring back the solidarity to each other, to the community, the Jewish. That's so Jewish. In Warsaw, 200 or 150 years ago, that was the Jewish community that take care about each other. And another guide of Binah tells every tour that he do, that his grandfather that was there in some village in Poland, there was not one child, they were very poor people, but there was not one child that got hungry on bed at evening. And today we have like almost, I don't know the numbers, 200,000, 250,000 of young children that are hungry. In the beginning, the difference is very, you can see that if you are, you come from another place and what, come you teach me, yeah. You come to teach, but if we try, no, I don't come, I want to live here, I want to build something better, let's do it together, and not from, I came here, we don't come here for 1 year or something, I come 1 year, help, and then I go back to Harashim, no, I live here 3 years, I love this place, there's spots that I feel connected to, people that I'm connected to, and I want to build here something better. I'm not coming to volunteer. No, I want to build something for my children, that way they come. And if you come in that attitude, maybe it's... But it's also... And also not to say, no, we're the same people, there's no difference. There is differences. And I came from another background.
And you're volunteering to come here. They're not here because they want to be here.
Also, we try not to come from, like, volunteer, but to make work. I want to be, like, a teacher in that school that I volunteered in. And to make things that you can work in. That won't be like volunteering, because something in charity and that, it's let the place stay like it is, and we try to build it.
I want to continue a little bit about the story about the immigrant workers. In the beginning of 2000, the government said there's a big issue here of a lot of immigrants that are illegal. We have a problem here. What we need to do something. One thing that they do was to build the immigration police. The immigration police is a police. I saw the one in action, like arresting something, and it's very... I stand in a bus station, and to side me were a couple of people, and came a van with glasses, like black glasses. Three people in black came outside, threw someone in, and they got away. And it's really something that you can hear from also the children in the school, and also from the parents and people that they talk about, and are very, very afraid of that police. And so everybody that look like soldier or police is like really the enemy, and that's something that also do a wall between us.
So
sure, because in other countries when you came, also us as Jews, as we came to another country, then we know there's Christmas and that we do in school and the other things. And we need to think very lot about this subject here in Israel. It's a very, very big question, moral question, Jew question, because one from the government said the immigrant workers here in Israel, they are a danger to Judaism in this country. And we, now we think what he said, that is a danger for Judaism. Because real Judaism said, Hager v'ayatom v'almana achai b'tochecha. And there's in the Bible the things we were, remember when you was a stranger in Egypt. There is here inside the country, we not talk about it, you don't see it in the news, but there is another strangers or people from other places, and we need to think how we deal with that. Here was the center of all the drug, center of all the drug in old Tel Aviv. Here, that was, it was called the Park of the Narcomanim, is like drug addicts, that's how it's called. It was very, very danger to walk here. Nobody did it, not in the day and not in the night. Now, if you can see, there are a lot of families and people, and we also can go there, and it's not danger. What happened? The citizen of Tel Aviv, the citizen of Tel Aviv, decided to deal with that problem. It's near to the bus station, people see it, and they say, we're building a park. Nobody knows where the addicts are. There's no where they took them. Now, 2 weeks ago, we see an article that are here two blocks away in Finn Street. The other side of it, it's a park that in the Saturday also families do a barbecue, and it's something that you don't have here in South Tel Aviv, like such a garden. And when we go there, you see the children playing there from all over the country, the children playing. It's also something nice to see that you can't see in other places. A school, Bialik School, that was also a very, very old school from the 50s, that are from the neighborhood, Shapira, Neve Sha'anan. The older people that live here, that we talk to, they say very, they very like the school. Yeah, we did that, and you know, like you talk about your school. But nobody talks about Bialik School. It's the name of the poetry of Israel, Bialik. But everybody knows Kaduri, and that's the school where Rabin was, and other schools. But this was also a big school. But and now also it's gone away. There's no sign like here was Bialik School. There were here places to hide from the Haganah before the country came. There's no sign, nothing around there. The first people that were, it's called Mistaravim, people that were looking like Arabs and then do like things in Yafo, it began here. Because the people here came from Morocco and other places, they took here, and it's very amazing. We have documents that told about a group that they took, the youngsters, and trained them and things like that. But there's no recognition of that today. And you go in Neve Tzedek, every 2 meters you can see here was this and here was that, and you have the Tapuz tour, you go station. We try now to do, a month ago I did a tour to Rosh Ha'ir, Ron Chulday, the head of the city. And he said he gave money for a book on the neighborhood and a tour. And so we hope that it will be here too, and it will be a historical tour about the neighborhood, and people can come and learn from this place.
And there is there a graveyard of Muslims also in the middle of the neighborhood that you still can see graves of sheikh and thing really important people. So there's, and you see there stop places with water for the Gmalim camels that came from Yafo to Jerusalem. They were walking there, great things, and he really said that he will give us the money for the tour, and that will be, so that's something that we really,
this is very nice, this is a nice playground,
and you
playground.
Can see here religious Jews playing with Africans, and it's isn't amazing it in the day, it's amazing. We'll finish here, this is the last spot. First of all, you can see really, this is still the bus station, the central bus station, the houses, and it's really around it, all over around there live people. It's not the end of the city. On the other side, the people in here, and you see the buildings, like really in the high of the buses go. Second thing, why do you think that the street here called 1254? There is like a thing that's called המשרד לשמות לרחובות.
An office that gives names to streets.
Yeah, an office that gives names to streets. In Tel Aviv, it's very, very something that people are listing down their names, that if their uncle was Herzl or Echad Ha'am, someone famous, they want the street, and they are very arguing and giving a lot of money and things like that to know, because there's a very big list on streets in the center of Tel Aviv and north Tel Aviv. Nobody wants this street on the name. And this is why they have no name. So this is really, I think, the sign of what I tried to give you. Like, wow. The story that's not told, and the people that are living here and live a life like with culture and everything, and we don't know, we don't hear about them, we don't meet them in our day. Thank you very much.